stars. I hear the roll and thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to that God is Son, not sparing, sent him to die. I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled.
Continue our little series and study on what are you made of. And today we're going to look at courage, being courageous. Everybody wants to be courageous, don't we? Stand with me if you will. We're going to look in Joshua chapter number 1. And I know when I look in that at that page of Joshua chapter 1, I've got notes all over the place. I probably preached out of that first chapter more than about any chapter I've ever been in the Bible. It's just so rich and so good. But looking at the subject of courage, there's really nowhere else we can go. I tried to find another passage or another scripture, but this is where we see what courage is all about. We begin in verse number 1 of Joshua 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Wow, God, when we think about these words and you continue to repeat being strong and of a good courage, the importance of that statement and that phrase. You shared with Joshua, knowing the situation that he was going into. Moses was dead. Joshua, it was time for him to step up and be the leader. And we know this can be overwhelming. We know that he can have doubts and fears. And you continue to recite in his heart and in his mind to be strong and to be of a good courage. And God, we know that you want to feed us what we need today, that we may be able to be courageous in the world we live in. We know the obstacles that we face. We know the challenges that we face, the difficulties that we have, not only in our personal lives, but within our families, within our marriages, within society, and in our churches. There are so many things that oppose us and try to destroy us, try to hush us up. There are so many things that try to destroy the family and the marriage and the home. There's so much against us, God. We need today to be people of courage. And we pray, God, that today we'll understand that. We'll see what it takes to get courage. We'll understand what courage really is. And that today we can leave your house striving to be courageous people for the kingdom of God. Forgive me of my sins and my many faults and failures, God, that many times I disappoint you. And I pray that today, God, you'll be glorified in and through my life. Let this message be preached to me, to us. Give us what we need today, God, from your word. In the holy name of Jesus we pray, amen. You may be seated. What does it mean to have courage? And I guess I've never really thought about courage before. I mean, it's always been in there. We've talked about it when we read Joshua chapter 1. It's filled with it several times, numerous times. But I've always kind of grouped courage in with just being strong, having boldness. And in a way, it kind of is that. But courage is kind of its own thing. So I've learned a little bit this past week in trying to dissect what courage is. Courage in this instance, I'll give you the breakdown of the definition. It means in the passages we read of Joshua chapter 1 to be alert, to be steadfast, and to be established. So courage is not being weak. Courage is not being weak by any means. But courage is a steadfastness. It's a security. It's a confidence. So I think courage, we can encompass a lot of words when we want to try to understand what courage is all about. And I believe what God is expecting Joshua to be and expecting Joshua to have. So let's first look at what courage is not. Courage is not strength necessarily. If you're doing the notes, I know we post our notes through the app so you can follow along with us and you can make your own notes and so forth. I think I put in there that courage is not strength, but let me add a little bit to that. Courage is not defined by strength. That makes a lot more sense. Courage from the Lord is not something that is defined by strength that we might have. Acts chapter 4, verse number 29 and 30. Let me lay down the situation here. This after Peter and John have spoken with the lame man. The lame man, he had been lame from his birth, from his mother's womb, the Bible says. So they went to the man and saw him there and talked to him. And he was hoping they would give him some money, give him some clothes, food, whatever it is. And they looked at him, responded to him, said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And so the man was able to walk, to rise up and to walk, and he went leaping and running into the house of God with Peter and John. And what a great celebration they had. So after this, they were under scrutiny, Peter and John were. Some of the religious leaders got together and started talking, and they met with them and grouped them in, put them in the pit, and discussed with, "How did you do such a thing? What'd you get your power to do that? Who do you attribute this healing to?" And in questioning them, obviously they responded, "By the power of Jesus Christ, this man stands before you whole today." So they began to rough them up a little bit. They said, "Well, we can't really deny the fact of the miracle, but we can tell these guys to be quiet and never talk about it again. If we can suppress the miracle, then it's not going to gain power or gain steam." So we jump all the way down to Acts chapter 4 and verse 29 and verse 30. Here's what it says. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. This is Peter and John talking about the threatenings from the religious leaders. "Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus Christ." So Peter's saying, there are more of them than there are of us. They're in authority. They're in a position where people listen to what they have to say. So we know that in standing against them, they're greater in number, they're greater in power and in force. So this is a challenge for us. We're the minority here. So God, if anything's going to be done, give us courage so that we may stand against them. Peter and John knew that they were outnumbered, but they also knew that the number had nothing to do with the power of God being demonstrated in lives. They knew that courage was not defined by strength. I think many times God intentionally will come to the weak, because he wants us to know that it's God that performs the miracle rather than we're the ones that perform the miracle. David, why did he pick David? Well, we know that David, according to Scripture, was a man after God's own heart. So we know that he had the heart of God, and that's why God chose him. But why did God lead little David to go stand against a giant? I mean, that didn't necessarily have to be a part of the story of David, did it, for him to be a great king? But it was. Why? Because God wanted David to know, and wanted Israel to know, and wanted the Philistines to know that courage has absolutely nothing to do with strength, and it's not defined by strength. If David had been 10 foot tall going against 9 foot 6 Goliath, then we could say that courage has a whole lot to do with strength. But David was a little kid and he had a sling, couldn't even hold armor up. Couldn't wear the helmet of Saul because he was so little. And Saul was a massive man. Saul was terrified to stand against Goliath. So were all the brothers of David. Everybody in the camp of Israel was terrified to go down and stand against the champion Goliath. But David saw him as nothing more than an enemy of God. And David took courage in the Lord and was able to stand against him, not because of the strength David thought that he had, but because of the relationship that David had with God. If we won all of our battles because we were stronger than the enemy, then where is our faith? No courage in that. Is there any courage in the fact that we got more people than you got and we can beat you up? Is there any courage in the fact that we feel like, we got a lot more intelligence, we're smarter than you, and we're able to accomplish more than you? If we're depending on just our strength to define our courage, then we're missing the mark. God told Joshua he wanted him to be strong and courageous. Have great courage, he said. Courage is something that only comes from God. And David defined that for us when he stood against that massive giant. We see so many other illustrations of how it is not defined by strength itself. What else is courage not? Courage is not foolish. I was sitting yesterday while we had our men's breakfast and listening to the guys after Tim had finished his devotion with us. And by the way, it was a great devotion. And it made me think a lot about some things in regard to the miracle hand of Christ and how he healed people and how he not only healed people, but he challenged people within the healing, you know, and the faithfulness. And Andy, I remember you commented and you said, "Wow, I wonder, with the guy having to work so hard to get to the pool, people might have looked at him and said, maybe this is foolish. It's foolish for you to try to do such a thing." Well, guess what my next point is? And this is long before we had our study yesterday. Courage is not foolish. Courage is not foolish. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says this: "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And the word boldly here is defined as this: confident and an assurance. Confidence and assurance. Now, to the world, someone that is courageous before the Lord is going to look like a complete fool, because it opposes anything that is reasonable within the mind. So when we oppose that, the world and society is going to look at Christians. They think we're ridiculous. They think we're off our rocker. They think we're nuts. Well, we might be a little bit, but that's okay. We don't go by the pattern that the world has set, and Christians are never going to go by the pattern the world has set. We're not going to go with the stream of society. We're not going to try to do the things that society tells us to do in order for us to be strong or to be successful or to be prosperous. What did God tell us in Joshua chapter number 1? He said, if you want to have great success and prosperity, not worldly but spiritually, a spiritual success, spiritual prosperity, he said, then meditate on the Word day and night. Then meditate on God's Word. Meditate on your relationship to Him. Seek His counsel. Pray and listen to God as He speaks to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. The world's not going to tell you that you're going to be successful through meditating on the Word of God. They're going to say you got to get out there and you got to take advantage of everybody you can and use everybody that you can. Step on whoever you got to step on. Make friends and buddy up to whoever, shoulder up to whoever you need to get with the right group and the right people, and that's going to build your success. God has a different plan for us to be successful and prosperous. He has a different plan for us to understand what true courage is all about, and true courage is not foolish. Abraham appeared to be foolish when God said, I want you to leave everything that you know, everything that you have, and I want you to go to a place that I'm going to show you. Did you ever notice that when God spoke to Abraham the first time, that he never told him where he wanted him to go, nor did he tell him he was going to give him anything? Just leave. Pack it up and let's go. I mean, granted, God did begin to reveal to him as he went on in the relationship they have with God. But first off, he just wanted to know, Abraham, are you going to be faithful to me to do exactly what I tell you to do? Are you going to get up and go? To the world, that's a foolish man, isn't it? What about Ruth? What about Ruth and Naomi and that situation there where God had spoken to her heart and we knew the famine was over and it was time to go back home, and Ruth said, I'm going to go with you. I'm your family. Your people are my people. I'm going to live where you live. I'm going to die where you die. I'm going to be there with you. And she left everything that she knew in her home and her culture. She left all of those things to go somewhere else. And we can look at her and say, man, that was foolish. God's going to call us as Christians to do some things that in the world's eyes are going to appear to be very foolish. But courage is not foolishness when our courage comes from God and we are obeying the leadership that God set before us and established before us. Where do we get courage? I think the obvious answer is God, don't you? 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9 says, we know that Paul had prayed about the thorn in the flesh three different times, and God continuing answer was this: nope, nope, and nope. I'm not going to take the thorn away. And he said unto him in verse number 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He didn't say, your strength is made perfect in weakness. And he didn't say, I'm going to make your strength perfect in weakness. He said, my strength is perfect in weakness. The only strength, courage we are ever going to have is going to come from God. You have zero courage, you have zero strength. If you're strong, it's because God made you strong. If you're courageous, it's because God makes you courageous. It is not something we conjure up in ourselves. Listen, we can exercise and work out all we want to, and it's not a bad thing to do. But we got to come to the grips of the reality that the only strength and courage we ever will have that means anything is going to come from God. That's not going to come from us. Deuteronomy chapter 31, I found a couple little nugget verses here in verse 6 and 7 talking about this same situation. He said, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee and will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Moses called unto Joshua, and he said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Courage. Courage comes from God. When we start depending on what we think we have, we lose that courage. Samson was courageous, strong, brave, had gained victory in every battle that he ever fought. Nobody could stand against him. And he got to the point to where he began to think he was something. He started to think, well, maybe this strength is mine. Maybe this is who I am. Maybe this is something I'm always going to have. And he started to exalt himself, think a little bit more about himself. He shared the covenant that he had with God. We know that the strength was not in his hair. We know that. The hair was cut and the strength was taken away, but we know it was because he broke the covenant that God had established with him. So it was a breaking of the covenant that cost him the courage. But his problem was this, and the reason he lost the courage was not because the hair was cut, but because he started looking at himself in the mirror more than he started looking to God. I thought about Stephen that stood and preached to his murderers as they took his life. Oh, my goodness, I'd like to have courage like that. We said, no, no, preacher, wait a minute. Real courage would mean to get rocks and throw back at him, wouldn't it? That's what we want to do, don't we? Now, real courage is when we stand and proclaim the word of God and are obedient and faithful to him. That's what real courage is all about. Courage comes from God, and it doesn't come from our own selves. Courage follows devotion. I don't think it's something that we just order it and we get in a box of it and we've got it until it runs out. I don't think that courage is something that just because you're saved, you're going to have it. I think courage is earned, and I think we must work hard and diligently to maintain courage within our lives. I want to read some excerpts from 2 Kings, from Chronicles, that break down briefly the story of Hezekiah. We're not going to get into the whole story of Hezekiah, but there were some threatenings and some letters that were written to Hezekiah. And he was kind of under the gun. They were prepared to come in and ambush him, and they were going to kill him, and he had some things he needed to sort out. So in 2 Kings 19:14, Hezekiah received the letters of the hand of his messengers, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord, and I love this part of the verse, he spread it out before the Lord. So he first said, I'm going to go in here, I'm going to lay these threats out before the Lord, I'm going to lay them down at his feet, I'm going to pray about these things. We go all the way up to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 7 and 8, and he said, be strong, and this is him talking to the people. He said, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid or dismayed of the king of Assyria, not for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. He had spent time, devotion, prayer, seeking counsel of God. And because he had church there with God, he was able to be courageous and stand before the people and declare, hey, they're greater in number than us. They're stronger than us. They may be smarter than us. They may have greater military strength than we have, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. Then we get into 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 35. It says, it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. 185,000 Assyrians were killed through the night by the angel of God. Listen, when he had church, he got where he needed to be with God. He got boldness and courage and spoke to the people and preached to the people. And because of that, the people rallied and they prayed and they sought counsel of God. God came through, and because of their courage, God just wiped them out. Now listen, God didn't have to wipe them out through the night. You know what God could have done? He could have took that handful of people and stood them up in battle against these 185,000, and they could have killed them by the edge of the sword. Either way, the courage was there, and the courage came because they had a time of devotion. Courage came because they had a time of church. How was Moses able to go and be the spokesman God wanted in Egypt? Because he had church at the burning bush, that's how. He had church. He got in there and he was talking to God. He was listening to the words that came from the mouth of God. He was responding, communicating with God, fellowshipping with God. He gained the courage that he needed to go up and stand against Pharaoh, somebody that before had desired his life. But he got courage and received courage because he had church with God. And the last thought is this: courage is contagious. Courage can be contagious. When we started out talking about the lame man that was healed, and Peter and John healed the man, then later on they went running with him inside the house of God, and then the religious leaders got around them and began to question them and try to confuse them, manipulate them. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13 and 14, here's what those men said about Peter and John. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Even these people that were accusing them of being blasphemous in their actions and perhaps serving Beelzebub in trying to perform this miracle, these men couldn't say a word, and they were convicted themselves by the miracle that had been performed. The courage and boldness of Peter and John had an effect on those people that opposed them. We get down to verse 23 and 24 of chapter 4. They said, being let go, they went to their own company, and they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard that, these people lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and they said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that therein is. When they saw the courage and boldness of Peter and John, these people were able to also take courage themselves. Paul, when he was taken to Rome, and he was going to be there for the last time, he was headed there, and he's getting a little bit discouraged. You know, they got him bound in chains and heading into Rome. He had also already written the letter to the Romans before he got there. So the word had spread and the gospel had been spread there. There were enough people there, a little bit excited about what was going on. And when Paul showed up, Paul needed some encouragement. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 15, it said, from thence, when the brethren heard of us. So Paul was making his way, being escorted into Rome. But when the brethren heard, some of those that were around that were believers, that they were heading that way, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum, and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw it, he thanked God and he took courage. Paul was down. Paul was a little bit discouraged. Paul thinking that perhaps I'm going to go here to Rome and I'm going to die. And we knew eventually he did die in Rome. Paul saw the courage of the people and that fed him. Courage is not only something that's important for us to have as Christians, but courage is something that we're going to be able to feed to other people. There are people around us that are discouraged, they're defeated, they're sad, they're broken. You know what they need to see in us? They need to see courage in us. We need to be courageous for the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, if there's ever a time when we need to see courage of Christians, it's right now. We got everything against us, don't we? I mean, everything's against us. We not only have society itself, which laughs at Christianity, makes fun of us, and why do you believe an old book? That old book's, it may be a good history book, but there's no real truth in it. They laugh at the Bible. They laugh and think it's so outdated, it's not even relevant for the world today, because the mindset of society is, if it feels good, do it. And if we think that it should be okay, we're going to make a law to make it okay, whatever we want to do and however we want to think. So then our children will start to grow up and begin to believe these things that are ungodly are true and acceptable. They may be acceptable in society, but they're not acceptable with God. So what does God need us to do today, church? We need to be courageous. Well, I'm not one to stand up and declare my opinion. Well, you may not have to. I'm not one to take up arms and to stand and fight against somebody. You may not have to fight. We just need to be godly before people that are around us. When we have opportunity to speak, speak for the kingdom of God. Don't be afraid, but take courage. We may never stand against a giant as David did, but we have an opportunity every day to let the world see something different in us than in everybody else. We got Christian friends that need to see courage in us too. Some people are not going to step up till they see somebody else step up first. You ever be sitting back here, be under conviction and say, well, you know what? God's telling me I need to hit that altar this morning. If David ever shuts up, I need to hit that altar and get up there and pray. But I don't really feel like there's anything wrong in my life. You know, I feel like my sins are confessed. I feel like I'm where I need to be with God. But I just feel an unction. I just feel a little something telling me I need to get up there and get on that altar. You know what? It may not be for you why you need to come to the altar today. It may give courage to somebody else that might be lost, or somebody else that's struggling, somebody else that's broken. And they need to see somebody step up and be courageous for God to give them that courage to move. I don't know what God's doing in your heart. I don't know what you even think about the word courage, if it's ever been a consideration. But today, we have to answer the question, are we courageous? Do we desire to be courageous? Because it comes with a cost, just as everything else with God is. It comes with a cost. It comes with us denying ourselves and acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Today, your courage may be stepping up and asking Christ in your heart. You may be unsaved. You may be here today and do not know Christ as Savior. And He's asking you to step up. Confess your faults to Him. Acknowledge your lost condition and ask Christ to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. If you are saved, you've been one of those pew setters, but you've not been very courageous, maybe God's calling you to step up to the plate today. Whatever it is, know this. If we step up for Him, He will go with us. We will not be alone. Stand with me as we pray and begin our time of invitation. Our Father, as we come to You today, and we're thinking about this development into maturity, and what are we made of? Are we made of the proper qualities that can make us mature? We know that today it's going to take courage. Courage has to be a part of our life, just as faith has to be a part of our life. We must be courageous. We must understand, God, that it comes from You. We must understand that it comes from a devotion time, a dedication, a commitment, when we surrender our lives to You, and that, God, in that courage, You'll give us everything we need for whatever task it is that You call us unto. Be our strength, God, as you were the strength for Paul. Be all that we need you to be, God, and give us the courage to stand and to speak, to move, to go, to do whatever it is that you call us to do, God. Give us the courage to do it and give us a faith to follow through. These things we pray and ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.